Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
Welcome to the Social Network Show today. And as you know, we are concerned about prevention of crime, particularly online crime. And thus we have the Social Network Show presents the National Crime Prevention Council series. And it continues today. I'm your host, Dr. Jane Karwoski, experimental psychologist. And here with me today is my trusty co-host, Michelle Boykins, Senior Director of Communications of the Washington, D.C. nonprofit National Crime Prevention Council. And who have you invited to be our special guest today, Michelle?
Well, Dr. J, today we are excited and fortunate to have a costume portrayer and voice for McGruff the Crime Dog, retired Sergeant Stephen Parker. Stephen Parker became a voice of McGruff in 2006 after a nationwide contest. And since then, he has voiced our iconic character in a number of public service advertising spots for our organization. Steve retired a few years ago from his full-time job with the Des Moines County Sheriff's Department, where he served for more than 35 years. Steve has made more than 6,000 appearances over the course of 33 years at parades, festivals, schools, nursing homes, safety events, and he even does an internet safety show as McGruff the Crime Dog. And Steve has received many awards over the years, such as the State of Iowa Crime Prevention Practitioner of the Year Award, the George Sutherland Award, the Honorary Kentucky Colonel Award, and the National Enrique and the Camarena Drug Education Award. In addition, he is a conductor for the Fort Madison Farmington Western Railroad. He's part owner and operator of a Mr. Frosty and a comedian and ventriloquist. And today we're going to switch things up a bit because Jim Nico, your partner and co-host on the Social Network Show, is here to interview McGruff. Well, Steve Parker. And since Jim is such a big fan, we can't deny him this opportunity. Right, Jim?
Well, I mean, I'm the biggest. I may be McGruff's biggest fan, and I can't believe that I'm here after all this time. So thank you, everybody, for allowing this to happen. I appreciate it.
Well, I have a question for you, Steve, to get started. What made you first think about donning the McGruff costume?
Well, it began back in July of 1980, Michelle. And I was watching the public service announcement for the first time, and there was this animated dog in a raincoat that opened up a door with a squeaking. And he says, "You don't know me yet." And he encouraged people to take crime prevention and begin in their homes and their neighborhoods. And they had a little booklet available, so I sent away to Box 6600, Rockville, Maryland at that time, got the booklet, and I thought, wow, you know, maybe there's a way we could take this animated dog and make him real. So went to the sheriff, talked with him, and I had went and purchased a trench coat, and I had some checkered pants from college days, went and got some gum-soled shoes, and she's passed away now. She was a matron for the Burlington Police Department, Burlington, Iowa Police Department, and she made a head out of paper mache, and then in November 23rd of 1980, we began our first appearance to kind of kick off Neighborhood Watch, and so McGruff was born as far as my association with him.
Wow. Well, so you certainly didn't just get started in 2006. That's quite a history.
Oh, it's back in November of 1980.
Well, and since that time, I understand you've made more than 6,000 appearances as McGruff the Crime Dog. How would you describe your relationship with McGruff throughout all those years?
Oh, it's been one of the greatest avenues in parts of my life. Over half my life has been associated with McGruff, and every appearance is just as fresh and exciting as the first one. But just meeting the people, seeing the excitement, taking this wonderful character and trying to make a difference in our neighborhoods, communities, our schools, and just everywhere we go, all ages, people of all ages recognize McGruff here, and we just love working with him.
Steve, Jim Nico here. Do you have a most memorable moment while portraying McGruff, the crime dog?
Oh, there's been so many of them ever, you know, attending the national conferences, helping ring the NASDAQ bell in New York City. That was fantastic. Being in Times Square and seeing his, we were out there in 2005 doing a internet safety type programs for a week. But probably one of the most memorable was this little boy, and he's passed away now, but he had leukemia. And he was a bone marrow transplant donor. At one time, Burlington, where I live, Burlington, Iowa, was the donor capital of the world. We had quite a few from this area. He came down for a special appearance, and McGruff was there, and he instantly just loved the dog. And McGruff gave him a little badge. He had it on his trench coat, and that was on a Saturday evening. And then Monday afternoon, he became ill again and was taken to the University of Iowa Hospital in Iowa City, and his this hospital called down and says all he was talking about was meeting McGruff. Could they send him a comic book or a coloring book or something? And at that time it was Sheriff Beckman, and I said, Gary, he says, you want to go to Iowa City? And we did. And when McGruff walked into that hospital room, his eyes just lit up. Now, this little boy's father didn't like law enforcement officers at all, but since that appearance, and he says, anyone that comes and does this for my boy, you know, that's something special. And so we changed some attitudes there, and it was to my knowledge, he did pass away a couple years later, but he was buried with that little McGruff badge.
Oh, for crying out loud.
That was very memorable.
Wow, heartwarming. And Stephen, was there ever a time when you found it challenging to portray McGruff?
Oh, I wouldn't say really bad or anything. I know I got teased a lot by my fellow officers back in the early days. They, you know, they couldn't understand, you know, what's this got to do with law enforcement? And then I got, I had some cans of dog food, and one time a 25-pound bag of dog food on my desk. It was more kind of teasing more than anything. But, but they soon realized, hey, this is an important part. So, you know, we changed a pattern of attitudes there, you know, just with some officers. But I would say the most challenging part initially was getting the program started, because, you know, we didn't have a big budget or anything to work with. But just getting it promoted and getting people to understand what McGruff stood for. But it didn't take long.
Well, do you think sometimes people see personal responsibility as perhaps foisting the responsibility for the whatever it is, in this case, crime prevention, onto the individual versus what the government can or should be doing? How would you respond to that?
Well, crime prevention is everyone's business. It's not just for government, it's not for law enforcement. It's everyone's concern, because crime prevention is very cost effective. It does save lives. It promotes a good feeling in our communities, and when neighbors get together and working hand in hand with law enforcement, we can make our communities a safer place to live. So I personally feel it's everyone's responsibility, not just law enforcement or the government or city or municipality, town, county, state, or whatever. It takes everyone to make this work. And with the guidance that we've had over the years in the National Crime Prevention Council and the public service announcements, getting the message out to people, doing all the school visits and working with teenagers and seniors and everyone in society, when we all take a part, we can make that big difference.
Wow, thank you so much. And it's really, I mean, there's a rumor going around the studio here that McGruff might show up. Do you anticipate that he might be in the area at this point in time? Or?
Sure, yes. And we've made the arrangements for him to make a radio appearance here on the network today.
Well, our sound engineer, Kylie, is grinning from ear to ear. I mean, I know McGruff is busy, and rumor also has it that he flies his own plane now. I don't know of any other dogs that do that, but will you shed light on that at some point? I appreciate it.
Well, of course, he can't operate any type of moving vehicle. Or
oh, he doesn't have a license.
He
That's right.
He does have assistance. He does have assistance, whether it's in a plane, motor vehicle, or a parade or whatever, but he's not allowed to officially pilot or drive. But
yeah, I guess that would be an important issue, that we wouldn't want McGruff the crime dog to be breaking any laws.
Well, I know pigs don't fly, so I can't assume that dogs fly from my limited knowledge here. Yes.
Well,
matter of fact, this is an interesting thing, because McGruff was making an appearance in one of our local malls, and a little boy came up to him and says, "How come McGruff?" He goes, "My dog has to have a dog license, and you don't have one."
Wow.
Where's your rabies tag? So he took care of that. He officially has his dog tag, and he also has a rabies vaccine.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, well, the younger generation will keep you in line there. We're going to talk more with Steve about his wonderful experiences as McGruff in the second half of our show today. I'm Dr. Jane Karwoski, and you're listening to The Social Network Show with my co-host, Jim Nico, sitting in for this special National Crime Prevention Council show. So we'll be back, and we hope that we will be joined by McGruff himself. So we'll talk then.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back. As internet technology advances, so does the threat of cybercrime. And the instant you go online, you become vulnerable to dangers such as identity theft, computer viruses, phishing, spyware, and more. In times like these, we must all protect ourselves from cybercrime. Antivirus software, firewalls, and security patches are just the beginning. Never open suspicious emails, only navigate to trusted sites, and change your passwords every 90 days. Back up important files to external storage devices. Tell anyone who uses your computer to be vigilant when downloading from the internet. Keep your kids safe on the internet. Teach them never to give out personal information or post information about their school or extracurricular activities. Installing parental control software and monitoring their computer are all good ways to prevent cybercrime. To learn more about cybercrime, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Now, back to the Social Network Show.
Welcome back to the Social Network Show and the National Crime Prevention Council series of interviews. Today, we are speaking with our guest, Stephen Parker, costume portrayer and national voice for McGruff the Crime Dog. So, Jim, I think we have an opportunity to speak to McGruff the Crime Dog himself. Are you ready to talk with McGruff?
Yeah, is he here?
Hey, Jim and Dr. J and Michelle, how's it going today?
It's really you, McGruff. Hey, when did you get in, man? When did you get in?
Oh, I just arrived. I heard about this program going to be on the air here, and when invited, I couldn't miss out.
McGruff, this is major for me. I'm glad you're here. I've been trying to keep up with your career for years, and now here you are. Thank you so much for coming on. Quick question. McGruff, you've been around a long time. It seems like you're a superstar, and everywhere you go, people want to know and talk with you. How do you handle the fame?
Well, you know, since July of 1980, Jim, you know, it's been a great partnership. And we've reached people of all ages through public service announcements, educational videos, appearances, and just visiting people in all areas to make our communities a safer place to live. You know, over the years, we've had great public service announcements of topics that include neighborhood watch, drug education, bullying, stranger safety, teenage issues, the importance of staying in school, and identity theft, just to name a few. And it takes a partnership, working together to really make a difference. And, well, I feel we've succeeded. And we've been planting the seeds and the avenues to help communities and all people to take part in making their communities safe.
Well, thank you for coming on the Social Network Show, McGruff. And I know you're busy out there. You're running the canine world of safety and the human world of safety. And to what do you contribute? What do you contribute your longevity to that you've lasted this long with all this fame and this, and maybe even fortune? How do you do it?
Well, because I get to work with great people. You know, Michelle is, she's been part of the program for a long, long time. And the National Crime Prevention Council, you know, they're the people that take care of me. And we just have great partners, and there's been great working relationships over the years with so many different things. You know, my appearances have not only been in making public showings and things like that, but, you know, we've been on television, we've done radio, we've done internet. We've also been on a cereal box and bread wrappers and milk cartons in schools. I mean, you know, this is what makes it work, because we've worked with great corporate people over the years, and they've helped sponsor, and, you know, money is tight and things like that. We've had some great, what I consider, partnerships to get the message out.
Can you give us some examples, like more specific, about your biggest milestones and maybe even your biggest disappointments as a dog on the move like you are?
Oh, the biggest milestone is seeing the campaign grow. You know, when I was 4 years old, I believe it was in 1986.
Is that human years?
On a U.S. postage stamp. Now, you know, that's pretty neat, because normally you have to be deceased 10 years to be on that. But we made it. And, you know, Smokey Bear had his 50th anniversary, and he was on the same year. So that was a great achievement, being on a U.S. postal stamp. That's back when it was 20 cents, but, you know, that's cool.
Wow. And did you know Smokey personally, by the way? You mentioned Smokey the Bear.
Oh, yes. We've been in some parades together and things like that. Oh, I know my buddy Smokey real well.
Thank you.
And,
And milestones.
He's a great bear, you know.
He is a great bear.
Make no bones about it, you know. We all work together to try to promote safety in our communities and our nation. And you mentioned about the challenges. I would say getting people involved, you know, that's one of the biggest challenges, because a lot of people have a fear. They think nothing can be done about crime. It's inevitable. There's, you know, I don't want to get involved, but if every person would take their responsibility and report crime if it happens, even if it's, you know, a lot of people don't want to get involved because they have fear of repercussion, or they think for a moment, well, you know, I'll have to take time off work to testify, or I don't want to, you know, get my family involved. But if a crime does occur, it's everyone's business. And even if it's nothing, it's better to have it reported and have it turn out to be nothing than to have it not reported, than it turned out to be kind of a major crime. So just getting people involved is the biggest challenge.
Well, I was surprised to learn that the early campaigns, and it's probably continuing today because it's such a good idea, was simply lock your door. Lock your doors.
Yeah, that was the very first public service announcement we did, you know. I come into this door, and I creaks, and I open it up, and and there was a light on, and there was, you know, trying to get people to turn on their lights, to have their homes appear lived in, and getting involved with Neighborhood Watch, you know, back in the early days. It's so important because all we have to do is take away an opportunity, and that's the biggest thing we can do to reduce crime, is taking away the opportunity, locking your doors, turning on your lights, having your home appear lived in when you're gone, you know, picking up the mail and the newspapers, don't leave them in the mailbox in the front step. Have your home appear lived in at all times.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, because even if a person were to think there would be nothing they could do about crime in general, the crimes we care most about are the ones that would be committed against us personally. And so we can do a lot about that by taking those sensible precautions. And I've also heard that it's important for people when they're walking, particularly at night, but really at any time, to beware of being involved in a conversation on their cell phone.
Sure. Because we all have to be streetwise and safe, and we should know our surroundings, and we should always be aware where we are at all times. You know, it's important to walk in well-lit areas and walk with confidence, even if you're in an area where you're not really sure of, you know, walk in confidence, but try to be not by yourself and to be with groups of people, and whether it be in the subway station, bus stop, or just taking a stroll outside in a park or down your neighborhood or wherever it is. We just need to be aware of all the activities around us.
Are you talking about the internet too, McGruff? I mean, I know that there's a whole other world of potential harm or danger on the internet. Are you online yourself? I mean, I've seen you on Twitter a little bit, but I don't know how you feel about
that. Being online, you know, that's an important part of many people's lives, and you have to be so careful who you're talking to in these chat rooms and things. Because, I do this with young people quite often about internet safety. It's so important that young people, teenagers, and even adults know who they're talking to. And especially if we are in a chat room or something, because do we really know that person that's on the other line? Not to give personal information out. And with identity theft, we know the fastest growing crimes we have in the United States today. It's so important that people protect their identities by not giving away their birth dates and social security numbers, especially to someone that they're not sure of. And so it's so important, as I mentioned before, that we know and protect our personal identity and who we talk to.
Well, I can imagine, McGruff, that you're going to be busier and busier with the little kids, because Dr. Englander, who is our frequent guest from Bridgewater State University, is talking about the trend now. Mid-schoolers and high schoolers are getting more savvy, but the grade schoolers are getting more and more devices earlier, but they don't have the focus of in education and so on in their schools. So I hope that you'll take that advantage when you're talking to little kids too.
Oh, sure. And this is a great part of the campaigns, is it involves all ages, because as I mentioned before, crime prevention is everyone's business. And it begins with the young people. And it works up when they were a teenager and as a young adult, and a senior citizen. It involves everyone. And we all have to be safe at whatever we do. And yes, you're right. We do work with young people, and we do teach them the dangers, because they are young and they haven't had the experience of knowing that what things can happen to them when they're on the internet or they're talking on a cell phone or something. They just need to be aware of the dangers that can take place in their lives.
Well, McGruff, thanks so much for making this brief appearance on the show. I have some additional questions for Mr. Parker now, if you would hand him the mic.
Oh, I sure will. And it's been a pleasure being with you, Dr. J, and Jim, and always, Michelle. It's great working with you. And to our listening audience, remember, we can make a difference and help your old pal McGruff take a bite out of crime.
Well, Mr. Parker.
Well, thank you, McGruff.
Wow. I'm in awe. I can't believe it. He really showed up, and now he's...
He did, yes. Yeah. It's real nice of him, too.
He's very cooperative. Well, what was it like, Mr. Parker, to win the contest to voice the famous character?
Oh, Oh, I'll never forget that day as long as I live. It was just fantastic. We had a studio audience, and of course it was advertised, you know, the new voice and everything, and it was at the National Crime Prevention Conference in Washington, D.C., and it was just a fantastic year anyway. And having the people portray, and there was even a couple ladies, if I remember right, doing that. We all had to pick a number, and Jack Kyle, mm-hmm. one of the creators and original voice, was there, along with a person from the Advertising Council, I believe, in the Causeway Group, and Saatchi & Saatchi. And they were the four judges, and just getting to see Jack Kyle there,
mm-hmm.
he explained the program and the history of it, and he read the very first public service announcement, and they handed us copies of it. We had to do a 30-second PSA, and all of us read through it, and it was stapled, so I did an old radio trick. I kind of broke the staple, so when it was my turn to come up, and I think I was contestant number four, and I did the 30-second PSA. They wanted to do it for clarity within the time limit, you know, not making mm-hmm. mistakes and being in the voice. And so a lot of people were having trouble. They were folding their pages over, kind of losing where they were. So an old radio trick was break the staple. I just dropped the first copy on the floor and just continued. And I noticed that Mr. Kyle kind of moved his head up and down.
Uh-huh.
He was like, this guy knows what he's doing.
Oh,
he's
very good.
So after the first segment of it, they chose three of us. The judges went out and came back in, announced the three, and I was fortunate to be one of the three people. And then they did the 60-second PSA, which was the latest one at that time, and it was on identity theft. And they showed the 60-second PSA with McGruff and everything. And so I had seen the PSA like 3 weeks before, and I just highlighted some real emphasis areas. And then when it was my turn, I went right to work, and there was, you know, applause every time and all that kind of thing, as well as the other ones. And then the judges met again, came back in, and made the announcement. And, oh, I was in tears almost.
Oh.
I mean, I was in tears.
Yeah.
It was almost. Such a great thrill. The office manager at the Des Moines County Sheriff's Office back in 1984 told me one time, she says, someday, Stephen, someday you're going to be the national voice for the crime dog. And said, oh, sure. Yeah. You know, because they'll hire an actor or someone like that, you
mm-hmm.
know. And anyway, I called home and told my wife and the sheriff, and, you know, I said, well, your sergeant is now going to take over for Mr. Kyle someday.
Mm-hmm.
And another great thrill that day was Jack Kyle came up afterwards. He says, would you do me a favor tonight? And I said, yes. And he said, I'm going to introduce you at the banquet as my successor voice, even though he was still helping out with the campaign. He wasn't going to quit or retire
uh-huh.
or anything. I was just going to, you know, just on occasion. And he's a super gentleman. And just getting to meet him again, I'd met him once before in 1988 when I received a nice award out in Washington. But anyway, he said, I'm going to introduce you, but I want to ask a favor, and we're going to do the original PSA. And he gave me a copy, you know, which we used during the contest. And we were alternating lines, and he asked the whole audience to close their eyes.
Oh.
And we did every alternating line, and then at the end we both said, take a bite out of crime, and the place went, oh. It was like, it erupted in applause. I'll never forget that.
Well, thanks.
How I loved to have had a video of that moment, but anyway.
Well, thanks so much for taking time to talk to us today, Mr. Parker, and for sharing.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Okay, and thank you, all our listeners, for being with us. Please mention to your social networks, online and off, that you enjoy the show. And if you're listening via iTunes or podcast1.com, please add us to your playlist. And do check out our webpage, thesocialnetworkshow.com. Until next time, please be safe and have fun, online and off.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on the Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.